May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Last night, during the night, in my dream life, in those moments when either turning over or whatever, in my sort of half-dream, half-conscious life, I kept hearing the Lord speak these words to me again and again, and the words were really simple. He said, we don't fight for a place. We fight from a place. And I think if there's anything recently that the Holy Spirit's been trying to speak to us is that truth, is that most Christians, the vast majority of Christians, live their lives striving for and fighting for a place in the Lord, a place where there's victory, a place where there's peace, a place where there's joy. There's a place for those things, and they live kind of like we talked about last night. They live knowing that God can and hoping that he will. And they're fighting to get to that place where it can happen. But the truth is, as believers, we fight from a place, not for a place. One of the things we saw last night again was, this is from Hebrews chapter 4, which talks about a rest that every believer gets to enter into. It's not the rest of inactivity. It's not the rest of heaven, but it's a rest in your soul. In the midst of standing up and fighting the good fight every day and facing life situations. But the interesting thing about it, it says, when you read these passages of scriptures in Hebrews 3 and Hebrews 4, he doesn't talk about entering into rest. He talks about entering into God's rest, which is much more fascinating. Entering into a place where your inner attitude, your inner emotional experience, your perspective of reality is his. Which is amazing. How much joy and peace. Now God weeps over brokenness and those kind of things and man's inhumanity to man, but just that place, how much peace does God experience? How much joy? How much love? How much forgiveness does he walk in supernaturally when people do things to him? And so I was just reading this last night. I wanted to read it again today. It says in verse 3 of Hebrews 4, For we who have believed enter that rest, just as he has said, as I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest, although his works were finished from the foundation of the world. And there's a lot to try to explain on that. We're not going to do that. But God's perspective is what God sees. You know, God sees past, present, and future. Always is a present tense reality. He also sees reality through his own reality that he's Lord and he's in charge. So he sees things from a finished perspective. He sees the end of the battle. You and I are walking through the battle. He sees the end of the battle and the victory that's going to be accomplished by him as he leads us. He sees the enemy's defeat. He sees the end. And so biblical rest is not fighting for something, it's fighting from something where you know, though you don't see it in the natural yet, it's already done. As we've been saying lately, our Christian life starts where somebody on a cross said it is finished. In the devotional day, I wrote a couple of verses. One of them is from 1 John chapter 5, and I'll read that one. The other one's real familiar, so I don't need to. But in 1 John chapter 5, it says this. And this is the witness, verse 11, that God has given us, past tense, eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has the life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have the life. We think of eternal life, we think of chronological things, like it's a life that lasts forever. But if you read through Scripture, particularly the writings of John, eternal life does last forever. But everybody lives forever. Everybody's soul lives forever somewhere. But eternal life is a quality of life, the kind of life that God carries that lasts forever. It's the life that Jesus displayed on the earth. It's the life that Jesus offered, not just offered, he decreed in John chapter 10, verse 10. I came, Jesus said, that you might continually have Zoe, the God kind of life, and have it continually in abundance, more than enough. That's what Christ said he came to do. He didn't just come to stamp you saved and guarantee you a place in heaven one day. He came to be eternal life in you. He who has a son has the life. He came to bring to you and deposit in you the very quality of life that exists in God, the very quality of life he displayed, Jesus, on the earth, a supernatural life, the kind you find in heaven. And he said, I came that you might have that continually and that you would continually experience an abundance of that, abundant life, heavenly life. And so if that's true, if that's what Christ has come to do, and you've already got that, and you do, you don't fight for that. You're not striving to get that. You're not performing enough to achieve that. Hopefully you can attain that. You receive that as a free gift the moment you became a Christian. See, I know lots and lots of believers, and if I were to ask you, you'd probably raise your hand, who long for a better quality, a higher quality of Christian life, who long for more victory, who long to experience daily in their conscious life joy unspeakable, peace that passes understanding, a supernatural love that just loves everybody. Every Christian I know kind of longs for that. Well, then we find ourselves living the Christian life, doing all kinds of things, hoping that we can get to a place where we attain that. Well, again, the reality is the moment you became a Christian, Jesus had already attained that for you and for me. And the moment we become a Christian, we obtain it. Everything that you're longing for improvement in as a Christian, you've already got in Christ. It's already yours. If you have the life that Jesus lives in abundance, see, we think the abundance is about, well, it's going to be just a great kind of life, but it says you might have God's kind of life. I came that you would continually, and we do, and you'd have that life, the God kind of life, in abundance, more than enough. He gave you an overflow. He doesn't want you to squeak through, survive your day. He wants you to experience an abundance of the life that he lives. And it's already done. Now, only the Holy Spirit can help you get this. Because how many times do you pray for, knowing that he can and hoping that he will, that God would give you peace? And what you need to understand, you have the very peace of God in abundance already in you. How many times do we pray for, we've heard preachers preach about, oh, you better watch out if you pray for patience, because God will give you situations. Well, here's the truth. You have the very patience of God already living in you in abundance. We don't fight for it. We fight the devil from it. The good fight of faith is a stand from which we live. We're not trying to get somewhere so that we get something. We've got something so that we can get somewhere. And that's a big, big difference. Amen? Amen. It's a big difference between saying, who would be the most famous athlete in the world today? Who? LeBron James. So it'd be one thing if somebody said, now go be LeBron James. And if you try hard enough, maybe you'll get there. Well, if you've ever seen me jump or run or dribble, you would know that there is no super anything, nothing could do to help me get there. But if somebody says, now I'm going to put in you all the ability of LeBron James at the beginning. So forget about everything else about you. You can jump as high as LeBron James. You can run as fast as LeBron James. You can dribble as good as LeBron James. You think like LeBron James. You've got his mind. You got his ability. You got all that. Now, go be like LeBron James. That's the Christian life. The Spirit of Jesus lives in you, so that you can live the life of Jesus. You with me? Mm-hmm. Not doing stuff, behaving so you can get something, but because you got someone, go do stuff and behave. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Mm-hmm.